Okay, thanks for inviting me over here. This is my first time in Poland. However, we are almost neighboring countries, since I'm from Sweden, so we just have the Baltic Sea right between us. My name is Jonas Bonner. I work for Terracotta right now, since 2.5 years ago. Before that, I was working for BA, and I've been pretty involved in the AOP community, aspect-oriented software development, aspect-oriented programming. Bill mentioned earlier that he's also coming from a bit of that background, so I remember like 3-4 years ago or so we were like flaming each other's framework and having like really tough discussions on the serverside.com, etc. I sort of missed that a bit. It was fun. I'm the founder of the AspectWorks AOP framework, and also been contributing to the AspectJ compiler and runtime. Today I'm going to talk about JVM level clustering and network attached memory, and what that is, and how we can use that, and how we implement that in Terracotta. So let's get started. First, I'm going to give you a brief overview of Terracotta, more conceptually, so you get sort of the architecture and how things, which artifacts you have, and how things work on a high level. Then I'm going to show you some more real code, show you how to do like a hello world application in Terracotta. Then some more real world examples like HTTP session clustering, etc. And Q&A, I need to take like outside. I'm going to be here some hours after the session, so since I'm only at 45 minutes, this is usually like a 1 hour talk, so we need to go through things fairly quickly. So what is Terracotta? A pretty good metaphor to what we do is that we're network attached memory. I don't know if you know what network attached storage, NAS. NAS. That's sort of an abstraction of the file system, right? It doesn't matter if a file is remote or local. The application that's using that doesn't need to know, since it's an abstraction. It abstracts away like the management of distributed files. Network attached memory sort of does the same thing, but for memory, for Java memory, for the Java heap. So the memory sort of persisted on the network, and then when an application sort of starts up, it connects and brings in the latest state from the network, then continues from there. It can detach, another one can come up, etc. So you can have this sort of conceptual image that's then the memory, the Java heap, is sort of on the network somewhere. And you normally use something like this to enable scalability and high availability in enterprise applications. So you can use it for much more, but these are the most common use cases. Scalability meaning one server, one box. Even if you run dual core, so it might not be enough processing power to feed all your users. Then you need to add more processing power. Like some years ago, people were talking more about scaling up, meaning adding more processing power to one single box. More CPUs, etc. Buying like a Sun 8-way box or 16-way box, etc. But nowadays commodity hardware is extremely cheap. That also implies scaling out, like adding more boxes. But then you have the problem: how can you then have them communicate in a way so you get consistent state throughout all your boxes? High availability is like similar, but it addresses another problem, and that is, If the user like have logged in and starts putting stuff into a shopping cart, for example, and then you get a hardware failure or the VM crashes, the load balancer redirects, the user comes into this other box. He wants his state to be there as well. He doesn't want to like log in, start doing things over just because one of the servers went down. So there we have a high availability, meaning constant uptime and like that failure is completely transparent towards the user. So that's what you can enable using Terracotta and like a concept like network attached memory. So in more detail, what are the features that we provide? We don't have an API. In that sense, I mean, we don't have a Java API. There's no such thing at implementing a Terracotta API. Like, putting stuff into like begin transaction, commit transaction, rollback, etc. All that is completely transparent. You just use plain Java code. There's no Java serialization going on, so you don't need to implement serializable. You can just cluster plain POJOs as they are. No annotations, no sub-based classes, no interfaces. And since we don't use serialization, we can really do fine-grained field change updates. We really get into your object model and like sits and listens to all the field changes. And as soon as a field has changed, then we can take that. Of course, you can batch field changes up, right? But when a transaction is committed, only the actual fields that were changed will be replicated. In traditional way of doing it, based on Java serialization and an API, that means if you have an object graph like, I don't know, like 100K or like 1,000K or something like that, and then you update one single like leaf here, for example, increment an integer like 1 to 2. That's 4 bytes. You only change 4 bytes, even though you have more than 1,000 bytes in your object graph, right? If you start your serialization, then you need to flatten all those, the whole object graph, send that over the wire, including all the class information that's passed on, that's built into Java serialization, to be able to completely rebuild it on the other side, unmarshal it, etc. Well, we at Terracotta, we see, okay, 4 bytes has changed. That's the only thing. I need these 4 bytes, and I need an ID, so I can replicate that and merge it back into the local heap on the other nodes. So we can really work extremely fine-grained, send as little data as really possible. You can also utilize then what we call cross-JVM coordination. Basically, what we've done is that we've taken the Java memory model and extended it throughout the whole cluster. So there's one single JVM working with the exact same semantics that it would have been on a single node. So if you just focus on writing your application for a single box, testing it on a single box, you can kind of sort of extend that onto many machines, and you get the exact same semantics. If you do not do that, that's considered a bug, right? In this case, then cross-JVM coordination will work just exactly as thread coordination works on a single VM. Meaning that wait notify works across the cluster. You have two threads on three VMs contending for one single lock. One of them gets it. When this guy invokes notify all of them on all VMs woken up and can start contending for the same lock. So it's real that you don't need to care about that you're actually running on a distributed environment. Also, since it's completely transparent when it comes to the code. However, you do then need to configure how things should be clustered. And that you do declaratively in an XML file. I'm going to show you that in detail just later. We also have distributed method invocation, which allows you to pick a method. And when that method is invoked on one box, we will trigger an invoke on all these boxes. Terracotta is mainly about sharing state, right? We don't share behavior unless you explicitly code us to do that using some master worker pattern or using some work manager stuff. But else we share state. But in this case, it is proven that it's sometimes important to also be able to trigger a method invocation on many nodes. So we have that as well. So how can we see Terracotta being used, or here how is it used nowadays out in the industry? It's actually not a general. It's not really just a distributed caching technology. It's more general than that. This network attached memory can really be used for many different more generic style distributed computing programming problems, but we mainly see it used out there with use cases like relieving database overload. The database might become a bottleneck. You need to bring the application state closer to its processing context, meaning up in the stack a bit, using distributed caching, for example. Caching hibernates second level cache and maintain that correctly across the cluster. The most common one is, of course, HTTP user session clustering. Since most web frameworks, they put state into the session, so it's a natural thing to cluster. But we also seen it used at like virtual heap. You know, Terracotta has virtual heap, which means that you can have much larger like virtual heap than you have physical RAM size. We've seen extreme deployments of Terracotta where they actually run 80 gigs of physical or virtual RAM on 4 gigs of physical heap. And that works very well for them. We also gotten into a lot of, like the last year, we're integrating with many open source projects. We're trying to do that with all the ones that are widely used. And that means for you that you really don't need to do anything, because we've already like gotten into these frameworks, figured out what state needs to be shared and like done that for you. So pre-configured a configuration file, you can say. So we call these integration modules, and you just basically import the one line of configuration file is to import Spring support or Strut support or EH cache support or whatever it is. So that's pretty useful. Also, some people are using it for like managing large workloads, like master worker patterns or grid style computing, etc. And last, you can use it for like messaging style things, share work queue, put stuff in here, other nodes can get it out of here, etc. Or event driven style programming using like wait notify, like taking the observer pattern, putting it out on many nodes, and listeners on many nodes, then you can build some event system like in almost no code. So you can do a lot of fun stuff with this. So if we look how clustering is done today in Java EE, unfortunately it's pretty complex, right? It's usually based on sort of JMS, RMI, Java serialization, and some custom code, like proprietary solution with some APIs for like put get of your cached object, etc. The main like theme with all these approaches is that they are cluttering your application stack, right? You might have pretty clean business logic, but then you need to like bring in this infrastructure service of clustering and start like polluting your code, meaning call, put, get, and listeners, so you can get a notification if the state is changed, you need to go get it again from the API, etc. Our approach is completely different. Instead of like having to clutter down the application stack on business logic level or framework logic level, we instead go down beneath and below the application stack, the application server actually. It becomes sort of a thin layer between the VM and the application stack. And what this means to you is that, and the application, is that it still thinks it's running on a single JVM. So you can really test this stack as is, right? And then you can, even you haven't written any code specifically for that, you can still deploy it on a sort of like large, like distributed VM. It's like one single VM. So it can run with the exact same semantics, one box, as it runs on like these multiple layer boxes. Okay? This, of course, makes code much, much easier to do with the write, because less code to write, understand, because it's less complicated code, it's easier to maintain, because it's less to maintain, less to learn for new developers coming in and out, etc. It's also much easier to test, because there's no APIs to do to mock up and take into consideration. You just focus on what you do best and leave the clustering and the state sharing to Terracotta. So the architecture is that we've chosen to not do peer-to-peer, which is sort of like a common theme with many other solutions. Just instead we're doing hub and spoke, which means that we have like X number of clients and a farm of servers instead. So we decoupled like the client and the server architecture instead of putting the server into the client like many peer-to-peer solutions are doing. Most people say, okay, you have a single point of failure here, so that's useless. But the thing is that we, you, you, I mean, if we had one server, we would be useless. Like, we wouldn't have any customers at all. So, but what we do instead is that we're clustering the server. We let you cluster the servers as well. So you can have one or many servers running and have them communicate either using like TCP/IP, or most of our like serious clients have deployed this server farm on a SAN, a storage area network, with shared like virtual disk. Which is sort of the most optimal way of doing it. But if you can't afford a SAN, you can just use network replication between these. This server has like two different roles. First, it's a dedicated state server, so all the states that's in your like virtual heap on the like shared state in the cluster are in the server. It's also persisted to disk using, we just used Berkeley DB there, but like push it down. However, the server doesn't know anything about Java. It just knows about like binary like a list, the actual byte that changed, and an ID, so it can merge it back into the local heap on the other nodes. It also works as a coordinator, since all like information is in one single place. You can do a lot of interesting optimizations, right? It works like a traffic cop. And for example, we can sort of loosen up locking semantics if needed. A lock might never be contended for, so this is completely useless to have the server like manage that. So we can just hand out the lock to the node and the thread on the node that always uses it, right? And okay, you don't need to do like check with me. Just go out and do your work. And I mean, at runtimes then. Later in the application's life cycle, then okay, that lock might be asked for on some other node. Then we just okay, finish what you're just doing, give me the lock back, and we go back to default. We can also optimize like the flushing and paging of the data pretty efficiently, since we can do this at runtime, right? And adapt, change strategy depending on how the application is used. Pretty similar to like garbage collection. This is also like externalized from US developers. You can configure it, and it can adapt, learn the application, and optimize itself accordingly. So, I have half an hour left. So, I think we're pretty good on time. So that was boring marketing stuff, right? So now let's talk about more real code. So I'm gonna show you how you can do a Hello World demo. I was doing this thing yesterday at the local jug, and there I sort of tried to hack it up myself. But then it took much longer than I thought to actually do that. So now I'm just gonna show you the code on the slides, and then we're gonna run it anyway. So, but you have to trust me that the code I'm showing is actually the one that is running, so we're not faking anything. I can also give you the code later if you're interested. Just come up to me, or make them available somewhere, perhaps with the slides. So, Hello World in Terracotta. This was the simplest one I could think of that sort of had some sort of interesting state to share. It's an array list, a simple ordinary array list. I'm calling it hellos. And when I'm invoking the method, then hello, say hello here. I mean, I'm just starting up the main here. I'm creating it, and I'm invoking say hello. What this thing does is first it synchronizes on hello, because in Terracotta since we don't have any API to do like transaction begin, transaction commit, rollback, etc. Instead, we just maintain the semantic of Java. We have Java as our API. We reuse that. So in this case, when you lock, hello, when you lock on this hellos here, then we start a Terracotta transaction, right? And everything that you know that you sort of update when it comes to shared state within this synchronized block will then be batched up into a chain set. And when you exit the synchronized block here, that's when we're gonna like push that to the server. So in this case, I'm synchronizing on hello, and I'm adding hello world and a timestamp, and then after that I'm printing out all the hellos that I have in this guy. When I run it the first time, if I run it without Terracotta, it will always just print out one, right? Because I'm just adding one, and they're printing out all of them, which is one. But now think that we have network attached memory here. So if I run it once, this hellos, if I then say, okay, hellos here should be shared, or shared terracotta data structure, right, clustered. Then it will go out and look, okay, have anyone been here before, added something to it? Okay, let's page the values in and continue from there. So the application is not allowed to continue unless it has paged in the latest values that's on the network. So in this case, if this works, it will then add more and more than this hello strings to this hellos array list. Okay, and how can I make this happen now? This is just plain Java code, no strange stuff. It's just same thing as you would write for a single VM. But if you want to bring in terracotta here, you have to write a bit of configuration like this, in which you just point to the fully qualified name of this array list. Here's the name of the array list, hellos, the class it belongs in, and the package. So if you do that, then I can like know, okay, that's the thing that I want to cluster. I don't want to cluster the whole Java heap. That would never work. It will be dead slow. But you can like selectively say, okay, I want to cluster everything that I put into this array list, for example, or if I have a hash map, or you can also cluster like an integer if you want to have like a shared counter or something. It's perhaps not so useful, but normally it's a collection that you put stuff into that you want to cluster. Then we also have some a little DSL that comes from like the AOP language community. You can say a way to point out to different places in the code, basically. What we use here is that we use a class expression and a method expression to first narrow the class expression sort of narrows down the number of classes that Terracotta needs to instrument, because we use bytecode instrumentation to do what we do. So by narrowing, I can write star here, but if you start up with like Weblogic server or Tomcat or JBoss, which means that we would need to like going through every single bytecode instruction in the whole JBoss application server and all the third-party jars and everything that's loaded into the JVM, which will work, but it's dead slow to start up. It can take like 3-4 minutes to start up. So a best practice is try to narrow down the scope of the stuff that you need to share, basically. Same thing with these method expressions here. Those, by defining a method expression here, a match for X number of methods in this case, using patterns here, then you narrow down the scope of the methods that Terracotta needs to go in and add transactions, beginning commit, etc., like that. But you can write star here as well. It's just best practice. Okay, so let's run a little demo here. So here I downloaded. This is not the latest. The latest one came out yesterday, actually. But then I can start up the Terracotta server first. I'm only going to start up one now. But like in production, you should at least run two, for failover. Else you wouldn't have. Else you would have single point of failure, right? So we have a lot of demos in the kit, but this one is not in the kit. It's almost too simple. But we have some pretty interesting real-world demos there as well. Okay, so as I said, Terracotta uses bytecode manipulation. So we need to get in with our sort of hook into the VM. And be able to transform the bytecode before it's handed into the JVM. We do that by adding some command line options to how you start up Java. Basically, we put a boot jar that we have in the xboot class path prepend, so it becomes first. However, it's tedious to write that every time, so that's where we have a little script called DSO-Java. And the intent here is that you can just take Java and then replace it with DSO Java and then start up the application exactly the same as you did. It's just a convenient way to use it. But however, I need to point to the configuration file. So I'm writing DSO Java here, tc config, and my configuration file, the one that I just showed you.
Hello. World.
So if I run this now, it won't be too interesting. We'll just go out, print out one of these things. I don't know if you can see this. I can try to make it a little bit bigger. But now if I run it one more time here, if things working fine, you should then go out and fetch the latest one and add one to it and then exit. You see, I mean, the VM exits every time. I can run it in a separate console or another machine, actually, but I don't have that. So each time I'm invoking it, it goes out, okay, end state available on the network, yes, page it in, continue, okay? So that's like shared state. But now let's have some more fun and add some coordination to this. So we, in this case, how many here have heard about the cyclic barrier in the Java util concurrent? Not too many, some people. It's a very useful abstraction that came out in Java 5. It's basically a meeting point that you can have. If you have two threads, each time they run up to a specific meeting point, when the first one comes up to this meeting point, it will block. But when the second guy comes up to the same meeting point, they will both allow to go through. So if you have three, you need three threads, etc. So in this case, I'm creating this cyclic barrier. I'm setting it to two, which means that I need two threads to start up, then both can go through. Okay, and I'm just invoking a wait here. Well, that's my meeting point. Okay, so if I now run this in two different shells, then I should be able to do this cross JVM cross node coordination. So in order to do that with Terracotta now, I need to add one more root. So I added this root in here. It's a fully qualified name to the cyclic barrier. And it's also important to know that with Terracotta, we have gotten into pretty much all the data structures in Java util concurrent, and so we know how these behave in an optimal way across the cluster. This means that if you use these, if you, for example, instead of an array list, you would have used a Java util concurrent linked blocking queue, for example, which is a concurrent data structure. Then I wouldn't have had needed to synchronize, because that's done inside that collection. So then Terracotta would be even more transparent and even less things to code. Okay, so let's try this one as well. Here I just added one thing to this XML file here, as you can see. So now I'm going to change this one to concurrent. This is the thing with the cyclic barrier. Concurrent, okay? So if I run this one now, it will just block here on the await method. Okay? If I start up a new one, okay. Let's see here. Put these on between. Okay. So now this one is blocking. Here I spun up a new VM, and if I start this guy now, the other one should be woken up and they should both go through. As you can see here. The reason why they are printing out different things here is that one is first, right? The one guy goes through before the other one has been able to add his value. I'll try it again. See. Okay, so here we really have cross JVM coordination for like with one line of code almost, like, or two lines in Java and one line in the XML file. So that's extremely powerful. But now let's look at some real world examples. Because writing this hello world is completely useless unless you're like doing it in some context where it's useful. So as I said, where Terracotta is most used, I would say, perhaps 30% or something of our users use us for clustering the HTTP session. Since most frameworks, they put stuff in there, like Struts, Wicket, Rife, Spring Web Flow, all of these, like, they put their state in the session. It's the natural place to hold state. And then it's the natural thing to make sure is available on all nodes and consistent. With Terracotta, I mean, we've been testing it in labs up to 100 VMs and have had linear scale. And you don't need to, as I said, you don't need to implement Java serializable. You can put any object into the session as long as you don't reference like OS resources like sockets or file handlers, because those are not clusterable. You do not need to invoke like set attribute, for example. If you put something in the session, if you use regular session clustering, as implemented by most app servers, you also need to invoke set attribute to have the changes propagated. If with Terracotta, since we are like inside your domain model, your object graph, if you update it, we already know that it's updated. So we don't care if you implement set attribute, if you call it set attribute or not. We already have replicated that change anyway. Here is a benchmark that we did. We did a benchmark with Weblogic Server, one with Tomcat. This is the one with Tomcat. And here you have number of transactions per second, and this is number of nodes. And the dark blue one here is Tomcat 100% writes. As you can see, it doesn't scale at all. I mean, it's completely flat, which means that you can only use Tomcat session clustering for high availability. I don't mean to bash Tomcat, but what's interesting to see is that this is Terracotta clustering Tomcat. You can see here we tested up to 6 nodes, but it scales linearly up to 6 nodes. With Weblogic Server, we actually tell our potential customers to, even though you bought a really expensive license of Weblogic Server clustering, please turn that off and bring in Terracotta instead. And where we've done that, we've seen like up to 50% performance improvements of clustering Weblogic itself. So that could be an interesting option, because Terracotta is open source, right? So you can use it for free without any restrictions. these are the app servers we currently support. So here I have a little demo about session clustering. So let's see, here we have a very simple dummy cart. It just has an array list with all the items. I can get items, I can add an item, and I can remove an item, right? Very stupid shopping cart. Now here's a little JSP that we wrote in order to expose a UI for this. So I'm not going to go through this, but basically you have add and remove here. Here it just shows all the items, and here's the form that you use to submit. So okay, in order to cluster this, you can with session clustering and also with Spring Beans, as I said, we have like erased the abstraction level a lot, so you don't need to work with fields and methods and stuff like that. Instead, you just define what's the name of the web application or the web context, actually, but that's usually the name of the WAR file. Is it that I want to cluster the session for? Then you just give us that name here, and also narrow down the scope for the classes here, as usual. And that's it. If you do that, start up Terracotta using DSO Java, then you have session clustering for all these app servers. So when I run this demo, I'm going to first need to shut down the server. When I'm running this demo, I'm going to show you a little tool as well that we have just for session clustering, since it's such a very common use case. It's called the Session Configurator. And what this thing does is that it like prepackages like either two Tomcats or two Weblogic servers or instances here. And it starts up the Terracotta server down here. Here it starts up two Tomcats, but I can configure it to start up two Weblogics as well on two different ports. So now I'm going to just remove this thing, because this is the app that we want to import. And I can say, okay, import my web application. And here is my web app. It's an exploded WAR file. Okay, so now I'm imported it. And then I can say, Terracotta should be enabled or disabled. But if it's enabled, then I will start up the server as well. So I can just click Start All. And then I will start up the server and the two Tomcats with session clustering configured for this web app. So that's a very easy way to test your application that the clustering is working before you start like really installing Terracotta on different nodes, and so, but sure, you need to do that as well, but for development it's very easy. And then I get hyperlinks here to the different URLs, one on 9081 and one on 9082, sorry. Okay, so here I have a link to my cart, so invoke that. I can start adding items, foo. I can add bar. And this one is running on 9081. This is on the other Tomcat instance. So you can see here, like, the state is consistent throughout the cluster here. I can press remove foo. And if I go here, I'm using post, so I just need to remove this before I refresh. I just have bar here, so you can see that the session cluster is working fine. I can start up the Terracotta console here, but I can just show you where it actually is. It's in the bin directory. And this one gives you a really good understanding of what is actually clustered, because it allows you to browse down into your object graph and see really what is in there. So here, I don't know if you can see this. Just try to make it a little bit bigger. Root, and here is my session cart. Here's my actual session. I can step down into the hash map here, and here's my dummy cart, and I can see the value is just bar here, right? You can add an item. And I click refresh here, it has two. So you see, it's really a real world, almost a real time view of the data. Here I can also see statistics like transaction rates, object flush rates, etc. So it's a pretty useful tool to know, get an understanding of what's going on, what is really clustered, and so on, how the application is behaving. Okay. As I said, the last month we've been spending a lot of time, or actually we haven't really spent a lot of time, but communities, the open source community had actually come up to us and say, okay, can you help us cluster this framework? So we have a lot of support for many of the frameworks out there. And what we've done here is that we try to pre-package a configuration file, perhaps sometimes with helper classes, etc., into what we call an integration module, a Terracotta integration module, and that's basically an OSGI bundle that you import into your application using one single line of XML, and that's sort of. It's like pound include in C, right, or C++, right? Just include this, and then be done with it. So what that could look like is like this: you add the modules elements here, and just say, okay, I want support for this module, a cluster EHCache, for example. You know, EHCache actually has replication across nodes, but it's very slow. So what we have done with this. Is that we have actually got, we go in and hijack the EHCache implementation, so the user doesn't need to recode, the application still thinks it's using EHCache. We just redirect to Terracotta, and you can see a massive performance improvement. However, if you have a clean slate, I would say you can just use a regular map or something like that. You have more control over that, but you can use EHCache if you like that API and still use Terracotta. Actually, we've done the same thing with JBoss cache as well. So we just go in and hijack that implementation, their tree cache, and you can get much better performance there as well. We have white papers if you want to read about that and download it and with code, etc. If you want to look at it. For Spring is so much widely used there, so we have actually come up with a specific configuration file just for Spring, and in this case. In this sample here is your application context XML, and as you can see, we have four different beans configured. Two of them are instances of the same class here, but here I want to say, okay, I want to cluster this bean and this bean. I mean, I can use any name here. It's not a naming convention or anything. I just
I can call this foo in this one bar. But what's interesting is in the terracotta configuration file, I have a springs part here where I just first point to the web application file, the name of the WAR file or whatever. If it's a standalone application, you can just write star here, and then I can point to this XML file. I can use the names I have here. So I can really work on a more high level component level, and get clustering for these. So now I'm going to run the last demo here. I have 5 minutes left. This is the most real-world one. I'm going to bring up 3 Tomcat instances, 1 load balancer, and I'm going to cluster Spring Webflow, which is basically just a regular session app, you could say. It puts the state into the session, but it's a pretty neat framework. It allows you to do like workflow-related stuff. Like think when you have multi-stages, right? Like booking an airline ticket, for example. You fill out information, click next, fill out information, click next, and then you want to change something, you click back, and so on. So that's basically what it is. Okay, so now I'm going to start up the server again. Well, I need to do that in a separate window. And this demo is in the Terracotta kit if you download it, and it has I'm gonna.
Is it because the because this guy is running.
It's using the same port as this thing, so I need to just shut that down first. Okay. So I'm starting up the server again. And all these samples that we have here have like source code and an ANT script, so you can easily use them yourself, right? And recompile and play with it, so on. So I'm starting up Tomcat 1. This one is running on port 8081. I don't know if you can see that, but it says port 8081 there. Start up Tomcat 2. And I'm starting up Tomcat 3 here. So they're running on port 8081, 8082, 8083. And the load balancer, the proxy is running on 8080. Okay. So connect to this thing, 8080. Webflow, I think it's called. No, it's not. I just need to check.
I have a README file here that
shows me exactly how to run it. See,
it's like this. Should work.
Okay, here I am, and here it prints out this load balancer is extremely stupid. It actually does round robin, right? Normally you would use sticky session, and Terracotta works much better with sticky session, because then we will never replicate the state to any other node. It would just be the server and this app server that knows the Terracotta server and app server that knows about the state. But in this case, I'm doing round robin just to prove the point that we actually. I can cluster the state across the whole cluster. So each time I click a refresh, I'm on a new node, as you can see here. So this is a little survey. So first I put a watch my name, Jonas here. Color blue. I can use the back button and step forward and so on. But now, okay, let's see. Okay, now I'm going to do an extreme thing. I want to see. Okay, the whole cluster is going to go down. Okay, first 8083 is gone. 8082 is gone. 8080 is gone. Crap, my whole server farm just died. It's not likely, but it could happen. And if I timing, I mean the load balancer will then not be able to find anything running. It will time out here. So, but then I can start bringing them back up again. So I'm starting up 8081 here. I can start up all of them, but I don't have time. So I just click refresh. See, it finds it and it pastes it in the old state here, so I can just continue. I have Jonas in blue here. My favorite food is sushi, and I can complete the survey. Yeah, jazz. Actually, I love jazz. So, wrapping up, I have 1 minute to go. So Terracotta is network attached memory, is scalability and high availability for the JVM. It turns scalability and high availability into a deployment artifact. Instead of having something you need to design for and code against the whole way, you can just thinking about what you do best, and then bring in Terracotta as a service when you deploy. You should, of course, test with Terracotta as well before you deploy, but you can bring in it very late in the development cycle. You can get simplicity and scale out. You can just work with plain podios, no annotations, no serializable, no nothing like that. Plain podios and cluster them as R. The code is easier to write, less code to write, less code to understand, also less code to maintain. That's a good thing, especially if developers come and go, right? It's much easier to test. So you just test what you do well in your IDE or whatever, and nothing to mock up, etc. And most importantly, it's a lot of fun, right? This is just some use cases where we've seen it being used. You can use it for so much things. It's more like a generic framework or service for doing distributed stuff. So download it, play with it, have fun, and that's all from me. You can find much more information on the terracotta.org site. We have tons of information there. And if someone missed that, Terracotta is open source since December, fully open source. You can download it, you don't need to pay us a dime. But if you want that safety, and we have support that you can come up and buy if you're interested. 24x7, 7x8, or something like that. Okay, thank you.
Proszę Państwa, mam teraz 2-3 minuty na zadawanie pytań, tylko bardzo bym prosił, żeby nikt jeszcze z tej sali nie wychodził po to, żeby każdy mógł usłyszeć odpowiedź. Czy są jakiekolwiek pytania?
Słychać? Okej. Okay. I have a question. It's about scalability. Can you imagine using Terracotta for distributed caching for a system that will have about 100 nodes, 5 replicated copy, and about 2 billion transactions a day with message size around 1 kilobyte to synchronize this?
If that would work, or?
Yeah, if that would work.
Yeah, I mean, we have in production, we have up to plus 70 in one case. We've tested more than 100, but it's very use case specific as well. I don't want to lie. I can't say that it will be work very, very good for your specific use case. You need to try it out. But I mean, we've been dealing some pretty really high volumes in both in traffic and like size of the cache. When it, as okay, I said, like so extreme cache, people like pull in their whole database and work like in memory.
So that should be doable, or at least worth trying out. Yes.
I don't. What do you say?
That will be worth trying out at least to do such a setup. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, try it out and see how it performs. And if you have any problems, like, let us know. Like, we're very, very good.
Hey, Jonas.
Hey, Bill.
I got a question on the. I got a question on the last demo.
Okay.
Did you bring down the whole cluster?
I brought down all the Tomcat instances. Yeah, I did. However, I didn't bring down the Terracotta server.
Was my question. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was not running in persistent mode when it comes to. But I mean, in production, you should always run the Terracotta server in persistent mode, and then you can also kill the server or all the servers. If you want to, right? And when you bring the servers back up, they will page in the stuff from disk, and then with the clients, they will page that into the local heap of the clients. So, but in development mode, I didn't. I mean, it's less hassle to run it in persistent mode.
Okay. Yeah. That was my question. Do you mind if I have a couple more? If you say a particular class is going to be clustered with Terracotta, can object instances be both clustered and unclustered of that class, or is any instances of that?
Okay. No, definitely yes. We have the concept of a root, and everything that is sort of referenceable from the shared object graph will be clustered. However, if one of the objects is added to the shared graph, then the class of course need to be instrumented. But those instances of that class that have not joined, they will be instrumented, but they will not be clustered. Okay.
And one last one. In the first example you gave, you had a synchronized block.
Yes.
Do you guys look for synchronized of the fields that you're clustering?
Yes, exactly. Right.
Because I got confused by the locking XML that you had.
Okay. Yeah. You mean where you point out to the methods?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a hint that Terracotta should look through these methods for synchronizing on shared instances, basically, and then we instrument those by adding like both locking and transaction semantics for these sections.
Thanks.